Let's stand on our feet again. So again, another warm welcome to those who are online, and of course to those who are here. Just bow your hearts just as they stand, you know, and focus on God this morning.
You are the love of my life.
And
you are the hope that I cling to.
El Shaddai, the one that's more than enough. We have no other one that we run to, we cling to. We call upon when there's no one else to call on. There's nobody else who doesn't sleep nor slumber other than you, and you do it because of us. You watch over us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. This morning we exalt you again. We praise you. We magnify you. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you, because indeed every time we come in contact with your glory in your word, we are transformed. Thank you for what you do for us. It's indescribable. It's invaluable. It's unquantifiable. How you change our lives, how you hold us, how you sustain us. Thank you for being there always. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being love. Thank you for everything. And Lord, this moment, as that you speak to us again, as you do. Thank you, because the words will come, not as a word from a man, but a word from God. Thank you, Lord, because your hand will be upon us to hear you, each and every one of us, to hear that which you want us to hear. And indeed the grace to do is released upon us. The praise and the glory is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to conclude what I was teaching on why we fast. I think we had a beautiful anniversary service last week. Amen. We had a good time. I was blessed. Hallelujah. God is good. And God is taking us somewhere. Amen. God is taking us somewhere. Great things are happening. Hallelujah. New things. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. And I believe that new things have begun for us. Amen. And we are on the last day of the month, like Brad Dipper told us. And the a new month begins tomorrow. And with it begins what? 21 days of power. Hallelujah. So that's fasting and prayer, yes, so that people will know what it means if you have never heard it before. But it's an exciting time. If you've never done, if you've never fasted before, try something. Amen. Try something and do a little bit. Miss breakfast, do something. Reduce the quantity by half. Amen. But do something. Hallelujah. Cut off Coca-Cola and what have you. But do something. Don't stand by and watch, but abstain. That's what the word means, fasting. It means to abstain from food. So please abstain. Abstain. Look at your neighbor. Say abstain. So abstain. And we'll talk more about why. And of course, towards the end of that, we have power convention, which is on concerning spirituals, which is from 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1, concerning spirituals. It says, actually, in most translations, you see concerning spiritual gifts. But the word gifts is in italics. So it's really concerning spirituals or concerning spiritual matters, concerning spiritual manifestations. And that's what we'll be talking about. Hallelujah. We have Reverend Moyo Akiojo with us. We should have Reverend Isaac Omoleyi with us. So it's going to be amazing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, so Matthew chapter 6, are you there yet? All right, we'll read three verses, 16, 17, and 18. It says, moreover, when you fast. Can I hear you say, when you fast? It said, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. So it's not a sad thing to fast. Can I have an amen? It's not something to feel sad and say, 21 days of power egg by meal. While I don't come, what are we going to do? And for those who are worried about all the food you have in your house and how you are going to eat all the food in that time, because now you cannot eat as much, amen. Please bring and share. So if you have too much food in your fridge, you've cooked food, there's plenty, you are worried that you might not even have electricity to preserve it enough for the days, just announce. Okay, let us know that you have food and share the food. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So it says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting, that they may appear to men to be fasting. He said, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward already, basically. Verse 17, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Can I have an amen? So basically, he's telling us, actually, Matthew chapter 6, like I said earlier the last time, just a quick recap. Jesus was telling us about certain disciplines, Christian disciplines in Matthew chapter 6. It's not very common that you'll find Jesus give, principles or instructions about how to do certain things that we do as Christians. Okay, but in Matthew chapter 6, he gives clear instructions about three Christian disciplines. And it means that those three in my book, those three Christian disciplines are important. He wants us to do them. Not only does he want us to do them, he wants us to do them right. And he wants us to understand that there are benefits for those things. We need to engage in them, but we need to engage in them with the right attitude. So he spoke about giving. He spoke about prayer and he spoke about fasting, not necessarily in that order. He spoke about giving. He spoke about prayer and he spoke about fasting. He gave instructions about them. And for each one of them, he used the word when. Can I hear you say when? It means that all of those things are things we need to engage in. Okay? You must be a giver. Can I have an amen? It means that it's not good enough to be somebody who is always collecting, but never giving. Can I have another amen? If you are just a collector, you are not fulfilling the plan and the instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? God expects that you take in, you will receive, but he expects that you will create avenues for giving. Can I have another amen there? So you must sit down and say to yourself, but how do I give? When do I give? What do I give? But I must be giving. Hallelujah. Secondly, he used the word when he was talking about prayer as well. And that means that I must be prayerful. Are you with me, anybody? You will not have a fulfilling Christian walk with God if you are not prayerful. You must create again your own style, create your own discipline around it, and say that I pray in the morning, I pray at midnight, or I pray at night, or whatever it might be, but you must pray. Whatever you do, you must pray. It means that Jesus wasn't thinking about how busy you are. He wasn't thinking about all of the excuses we have, but he expected we will give, he expected we will pray, he expected that we will fast. Are you there? And today we're focusing on fasting. I've spoken, and if you were not here, you can get the real gist of the last one by going online. But there were three or four basic things that I will remind you of. Number one, it says that you may be able to seclude yourself or not when you fast. So the first thing you see in Matthew chapter 6 that we're reading is that when you fast, it doesn't mean that you have to go and hide away or you have to go on a mountain so that you are waiting on the Lord. No, 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 no. Jesus was talking about the fact that when you fast, he said you need to anoint your face so that men, you don't appear to men to be fasting. It means that you are still expected to be able to go about your normal business, and that's why you are appearing to men. Are you with me? So don't be bothered and thinking to yourself that, I don't have leave. Oh, I will not be able to stay at home to pray. It's okay. God recognizes all of that. If you can, that is fantastic. But if you can't, you can still fast. Can I have another amen there? And when you do, he expects that you will be functional. That's why he's saying that you don't appear to men, not that you are going about and looking druggy and tired, and then you are fainting, and then you are sitting down. And when you are supposed to do something at work, you say, I can't do it. Don't you know that we are doing 21 days of power in our church? They don't care what you are doing in your church. Are you with me, anybody? So if you have to take something, if you had to take an orange juice and all of that because you are losing power and you need to function, please go ahead and take it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? At least it's not orange juice you would have taken ordinarily. Maybe you would have whacked a very big bowl of amala. But now you simply drank glucosate. Now you simply took a cup of tea so that you could function and you are not appearing to men to fast. Are you still with me, anybody? But if you have the power for dry fasting, go on, son. Amen. The power for no food, no drink, no whatever for 21 days, please carry on. But God help you if you have to be carrying you around. Are you still with me, anybody? Number two, we said that there are open rewards for secret activities like fasting. So that when you are fasting, there are rewards for it. It's something that nobody is meant to know, but God knows that you are doing something. And God rewards them. And we'll be talking about rewards of fasting. Number three, we had said you are expected to fast. And number four is that there are traditions. There are traditions, that spiritual traditions that one can have. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul was writing to the Thessalonian church and he said, I've committed to you certain traditions. I've come to commit to you some traditions. So the word tradition in itself is not wrong. It means that there are certain things that you do in a certain way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we do this all the time. So for us, we have a tradition of 21 days of power. It's not wrong to have such a tradition. What is a problem is when you don't know why you have the tradition. Are you still with me? 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, Paul was also saying to the Corinthian church, he said, I thank God that you have kept the traditions that have been delivered to you. So he was using the word traditions. I said, I thank God that the traditions delivered to you, you have kept them. So we can have the traditions. I told a story before of a lady who, when she would buy fish, she would cut the head off. And then she would cut a big part of the tail off. And then she would just cook the rest and fry it and eat it. But she would cut the head and cut a big chunk of the tail and throw them away. And one day the child asked and said, Mommy, why do you always cut the head off? I don't eat the head of a fish. But I think women generally have an anointing. Most women. You see, they're already thinking about it. Most women know how to, I don't know how to eat it, I don't like it, and all that. But this one will cut it off and cut it off and cut off the tail and all of that. And the daughter said, Mommy, why do you always do this? And she said, because my mother always cut it off. And then he said, okay, when grandma comes, we ask grandma. And then they ask grandma, why do you always cut it off? And grandma said, because I had a very small pot, small frying pan. It cannot contain the long fish. So I always have to cut off the head and cut off the tail. So it's not wrong to have a tradition. What is wrong is not to know why the tradition exists. Because the validity of that tradition exists in the knowledge of why it is in place. Can I have an amen? And that's why we're talking about the reasons or the rewards of fasting, so that we all know that when we do it and we're saying 21 days of power every year, it's not just a tradition, but it carries a reward alongside with it. Hallelujah. So I'll run very quickly. And today I want to shock you with time. Amen. Number one, fasting helps our faith. Fasting helps our faith. Go to Matthew chapter 17. And we'll go there because this is the most popular scripture about fasting. Fasting helps your faith. So we'll read Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17 and from verse 14. It said, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him. That came to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often, or many times, into the water. He said, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then, verse 19, the disciples were, struck. Great miracle. Thank God the boy has been delivered. But they were troubled. They were troubled inside of them. But the man had brought, he didn't lie, he had brought that child to them first. He said, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said to him, why could we not cast it out? Privately and say, Oga, how come? It's what you did that we did. You understand? It's the same way you did it that we did it. We also said, come out! And it didn't come out. So they said, why could we not cast it out? You say it in low tone so that people outside the door will not hear what they were asking Jesus. And verse 20, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Can I hear you say, because of your unbelief? He said, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, I want to help you this morning because there's a whole theological debate around this scripture, where people begin to question and debate the fact that in many of the original manuscripts, they say that verse 21 was missing, some say. In fact, if you read certain scriptures, you'll find the fasting is also in italics. They say, the only thing that they found in it was that this kind does not go except by prayer. But forget all of the theological debate and understand what Jesus said to them. When they asked him and they said, why could we not cast it out? The first thing and the basic answer, stand-alone sentence that he said to them was what? He said, because of your unbelief. Can I
I hear say because of your unbelief? It means that, look, the bottom line of the reason why you could not cast that devil out is because of your unbelief. Every other thing he said or might have said after that is to explain the problem of the unbelief or why the unbelief existed. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when he was then speaking to them and saying, well, you see, this kind does not go except by prayer and fasting, is to qualify the unbelief or the reason why they had unbelief. So he was saying to them, the problem you have is unbelief. However, if you had been fasting and praying, even this unbelief would have been cured. You understand it now? So the fasting will help. The fasting and prayer would help your unbelief. Can I have another amen? So in Matthew chapter 9, they were asking him and they said, look, like I said the last time, virtually every religious person or religious group has fasting as part of their discipline. So whether it's Muslim, whether it is Hindu, whether it is, everybody has fasting. So there's something about that fasting that has power. Are you hearing me? And so the Jews also came to Jesus and they said, look, how come we fast, but your disciples don't fast? We fast, but they don't fast. Why do they not fast? He said, look, they will not fast. You can't have the groomsmen. The groomsmen can't be fasting when the groom is still with them. You can't go to a wedding and you say it's the day of the wedding and then it's that day you are fasting as you are going. No. He said, no. When the groomsman, the groom is with them, he said they will not fast. He said, but when the groom is taken away, they will fast in those days. What was he talking about? He said, as long as I'm here and they are seeing me and I'm walking with them and I'm casting out devils and they can turn to me even when they need to pay taxes and they don't have money. Peter can come to me and say, Master, they have come for tax. There's no money. And he can say to them and say, go and fish and take the first fish and you find a coin in the mouth, pay your tax and mine. He said, as long as I'm here and they can see me that way, I'm that real to them because I'm walking physically among them. He said, they won't fast. He said, but when I'm taken away, when they can't see me, when they're in situations and it looks like I'm far from them, when things are troubling them and they can't see God, and it looks like, God, where are you? Well, how come you have departed me? He said, we fast in those days. Why? Because the fasting will make me real to them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The fasting will bring me as if I was there again physically with them in the days that I used to walk with them. So when you are struggling and your faith is weaker, when you are struggling and you are scared and you are anxious, declare a fast for yourself. Don't wait for 21 days of power. Are you hearing me? I mean, I was recollecting the early days. We got married 2002. We had our son 2006. And I was recollecting yesterday with the leaders, you know, some aspects of that experience. How God showed me a dream and all of that. Years ahead of it, about 2-3 years before we had the son. And he showed me what was going to happen. He showed me the circumstances around it. But what I did not say yesterday was the element of fasting and prayer that I added to my walk. Because I'll have to stand there and make the scriptures real to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, because if you go month by month, and my wife is crying some months and saying, what is going on? And all of her, and she said, let's go here, let's do this, let's go to seek medical help. I don't know why this is happening. And all of that. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not that bothered easily. In fact, one of the days I said to God, I said, God, it's me you called. Don't punish anybody, you know, with this kind of struggle. I said, left to me, I'm okay. Even if there's no child, I'm fine. I will serve you. There's no wahala at all. I said, but this woman, please, for her sake, you know, please bless us with a child. And when the troubles and the anxiety will come sometime, I decided I was going to be fasting weekly. Are you hearing me? And so that not just my own faith and my worry, but even my concern for her will be all cast upon God and my faith will cover everything together. So I will fast and I will stand upon Isaiah 58 and verse 8 and I will stay there and say, he says that your light will shine like the morning. Meaning the one says your light will break through the darkness like the morning. And I'll stand there and fast and declare those scriptures throughout the day. I would walk around. I would stay. I would go to, in fact, along the line about that time, I was doing a master's degree. But on the day that I will fast, I will take time, minutes in between lectures, and I'll go and stand in a corner. I'll open the scriptures again. I'll look at Isaiah 58. I will thank God because his word is real. I will thank God because his word is working. I'll look at Psalm 128 and verse 3. It says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children like holy plants all around your table. And I will thank God for the reality of the word. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? Please, listen. Christianity is for living. It's not for a fad. Are you there? And we're not Christians so as to belong. We're not Christians so as to be like everybody else. You know, I told you years ago I was in Ebonyi. And I thought to myself, this is an evening, Wednesday evening, I think it was. And I said, look, Wednesday evening, I'm here in this place. What am I going to do? I didn't have a meeting till the next day. I said, look, let me just go and find a church and just fellowship. You know, and as I took a walk, I got to the place and I saw, I was hearing the noise, you know, the music and all of that. And as I was about to enter, I saw their sign. And it said, the church with a swag. So I turned back and I went back to my hotel room. I said, I'm not looking for swag. Are you there? Listen, church is not for swag. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? Church is not for swag. The things that have been done, the teachings, and you're sitting with God's word even by yourself is so that you can live it out. It's so that it can penetrate your life, and your life is influenced entirely by the scriptures. There's no translation, almost, of those scriptures that I'm mentioning to you that I did not read. I will read them in different translations. I will thank God for it. One translation will read one way. Another one will read another way. One said that your children will be around your table. I think that's the Amplified. He said vigorous and healthy. Vigorous and healthy. Then I would declare it also. I said not only we will have children, but they will be vigorous and healthy. I spent years treating, sick children. So I knew what it was for you to have a child, have a baby, and the baby is sick. There was one that we managed in the hospital for about 6 months. For about 6 months. The mother was there in the hospital with us. The father was coming every day, 6 months. They had a baby. That's not exciting. Thank God that the baby went home alive and well. Are you with me? So I would declare that also. I say, not only will we have, but they will be vigorous and healthy children. Listen to me. The days of fasting strengthened my faith. The days I will fast every week. I looked forward to it because it strengthened my faith. It gave me more energy to go on. And then, cutting a long story short, one day my wife called and said, I think I'm pregnant. Praise God. Then the following week she called. And then I went to do ultrasound. They couldn't find heartbeat. You know, they say, well, I know they finish. But your faith is more than enough. If you will build your faith, Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Remember, I'm saying to you that fasting will help your faith. Fasting and praying will help your faith. So because she said, they didn't see heartbeat, and she was crying. I was in the UK, she was here in Ibadan. I was crying. What do? I went, I opened the Bible again. I looked at Psalm 128 and verse 3, and I thanked God. I said, I thank you, Lord, because that scripture is still there. I thank you because it has not been removed. I thank you because it has not been edited. It still says that I will have children, vigorous and healthy. And then the following week, she had gone, went to see this doctor, and that one said, go and repeat the ultrasound. And he went and repeated the ultrasound the following week, and they saw the heartbeat. And the person who repeated in the same place, but two different doctors there. And the person who did it the second time asked her and said, are you sure that my colleague said he didn't see this heartbeat last week? She said, yes. He said, because there is no way he would not have seen this heartbeat last week. What do I believe? The devil struck, but God turned it around again. Are you still there, anybody? I'm telling you that your faith will be built, your faith will be strengthened in the times that you fast and you pray. Jesus said to them, the reason why you could not cast it out is because of your unbelief, but this kind of trouble, even this kind of unrelenting trouble, wicked problems as we call them, he said, this kind will go if you fast and pray. Can I have another amen? Number two, it will help you to put your heart on the things of God. Now, that's important. It sounds very simple, but it's very important. Let me show you a scripture, that a strange scripture in the book of Acts chapter 23. Acts 23. I'll read just verse 12. Acts 23 verse 12. It says, when it was day, some of the Jews banded together, so they got together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now, there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. So Paul was under arrest, and there were these Jews who got together, and they said, we are not going to eat or drink until we kill Paul. Why was it important not to eat or drink? I mean, on a good day, you should want to eat and drink. Because Paul was under arrest, was under, secure guard, as it were. So you should want to eat and drink so that you are ready with energy. But they bound themselves and they said, we will not eat or drink. Why? Because of focus. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's focus. They were saying, when hunger begins to bite you, you will remember that you need to kill Paul before you can eat anything. Are you still there? When I was growing up, one of my popular man in society, one of my friend's fathers had a big beard. That was before the days of the bearded gangs. You know, the bearded gangs have just evolved. But he had a big beard. It was very big beard. And I had always wondered why he liked this very big beard. And one day I read his interview. They were interviewing him. And they said, why does he have a big beard? And the man said he vowed that he was not going to cut his beard until Nigeria improves. Huh? How long shall the beard be? But the point is this. He put something there to remind himself that there's something I'm expecting. There's something I'm looking forward to. There's something I want to see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying to you that fasting plays a similar effect in putting your heart on the things of God. In John chapter 2, verse 12, it said, turn your heart to God with fasting and weeping and mourning. So what does that mean? It means that with the fasting, I'm able to turn my heart towards God. Why is that important? Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. He said, they that walk in the spirit, they mind the things, they mind the things of the spirit. They that walk in the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. Meaning that the ability to walk in the spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, which tells you that when you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then it tells you the fruits of the spirit are this, the fruits of the flesh are this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying that the ability to walk in that spirit, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, is fundamentally based upon what you put your mind upon. It's about mindfulness. What are you mindful of? And when you fast, which we have defined and said is abstinence from food, your mind will be there on the things of God because you'll be reminded. You see jollof rice. Say, oh, jollof rice. Then you say, no. But you'll be reminded that the reason why I have refused to eat jollof rice today, even though it's smelling like original, party jollof, the reason why I will not eat it now is because I am waiting on God. And in verse 6, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, it then concluded. He said to us, to be carnally minded is death. He said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it brings you all of life, all of the things you should enjoy in life. He said, to be spiritually minded will give you the life of God. You will enjoy the life of God, just like Jesus was speaking of in John chapter 10 and verse 10, and said, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Once it says, I have come that you might have life, and I mean real life. And how do you get that? He said, it's by being spiritually minded. So fasting will help you to be spiritually minded. When you wake up and you're thinking, let me fry egg. And then you say to yourself, no, not yet. Why not? Because I want to wait on God. Because I want to fellowship with God. Because I'm fasting and I'm praying. And you're spending the time in God's word and all of that. Because of that, you'll be reminded. At that time, you would have spent going to fry the egg. Then go and spend more minutes. The same amount of minutes. Spend it praying and reading God's word. Can I have an amen? Number three. Fasting puts our hearts in a position to be more sensitive to the voice of God and the instructions of God. One of the things I found, because there are many things you can spend your time praying about. I can spend time praying about all sorts of things. If I want to pray and I'm just praying about my work alone, you can pray for 3 weeks. If you think about the details, you can spend 3 weeks praying about your work. If you think about your wife, your husband, you can spend 3 weeks. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you think about your children, you can spend 3 weeks praying about. If you think about Nigeria, you can take 1 year praying about that alone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it's like when we're growing up, you know, I didn't like native. How many people were like me? I didn't like native at all. I didn't like it. All these native clothes, Buban Shokoto. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I mean, thank God today now they're even putting belt, you know. But I didn't like it at all. And I didn't like it because I didn't know how to tie the knot. So when you wake up in the morning on Sunday and they wear it for you, they help you tie the knot. But that knot is a problem. Because when you need to go to the bathroom, and then you get there and you're struggling with the knot, then you start weighing on yourself small, you know, as a child. So I didn't like it. Until one day they showed me, they said, you pull this shorter one. You know, as you are seeing the knot there, they said, just pull this one. If you pull this one, everything will open. It was the same thing with the shoes. I didn't like shoes with laces because, you know, once they tie the lace for you on your canvas, you leave it that way. So you remove it. You don't loosen the knot. How many people know about that? You are looking at me like I'm the only one. So when you remove it that way. When you wear it that way. They have tied it successfully once, you keep it that way. Because I didn't know how to do it. And then the master of it all was to wear a tie. That was the master. You find who will do the tie for you, and once it's there forever. The same yesterday, the same today, and the same forevermore. That knot is not coming off. Until one day, my father had made it a tutorial. I said, oh yeah, stand there, I will show you. Oh yeah, you do it like this, you do it like this. Then you practice and practice and practice. And today, all of my ties are loose. I have to tie it afresh when I wear it. Why? Because I discovered and they showed me that when you see that knot, all you have to do is find the right piece of it or the right end of it to pull. And once you pull the right end of it, everything opens. Easily. Not that you pull it, you pull the wrong one, and then it becomes tight. We used to call it coco. You know, our takoko. And that coco, you know, if you manage to, for instance, if it's the trouser, you manage to pull the trouser out by force, then you even use your teeth trying to remove the, you know what I'm, Boys suffer. Are you still there? But all I needed was the understanding that there was just one end of it you needed to pick out and pull, and everything opens up. Are you still there? That's the way it works for us. But I discovered that in your walk with God, all you need actually is to know the will of God. Know the will of God concerning any matter, walk in the will of God concerning any matter, and everything you want will fall in place sooner or later. Are you hearing me? Go to Colossians chapter 1. We always talk about Pauline prayers, you know, and these are good prayers. So even in the days you are fasting and praying, these are good prayers. You say, I don't know what to pray. I don't even know what to fast. Go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 1, okay? Look at Ephesians 1, I think, from above verse 17. Go to Ephesians 3 from about the end of it, the last 2-3 verses. Pray those prayers for yourself. Are you hearing me? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Pray those prayers for yourself. So when you wake up and say, hey, I don't even have any need. I don't have anything. I'm waiting on God. Pray those ones for yourself because those are everlasting things to be prayed about. But you will have the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. You will need it all of the time. But my favorite of the Pauline prayers is Colossians 1. And why? Because Colossians 1 says that I pray for you that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It says so, verse 10. Verse 10 tells me that if I'm filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10 is the result. Verse 10 says, so that you will walk worthy of him. You will live right. You will walk right. You will do the right things. He said, fully pleasing him, and you will be fruitful in every good thing and increasing in the knowledge of God. So I'll be fruitful in every good thing. Meaning that everything I want to do, I believe for in life, everything I wish for in life, there are good things. He said that I will have every good thing. Just by being filled with the knowledge of the will of God. I will live right. I will have every good thing that I'm supposed to have. And I will increase in my knowledge of God. And I thought that's all I want. Are you hearing me? Fasting helps you to become sensitive to hearing the will or the direction of God. Actually, that's why we do the corporate one towards the end of the year. It's so that you start thinking about your life. You start thinking about the year to come. You start saying to God, God, speak to me. I need to know. I need to be filled with the knowledge of your will. What are the steps I'm supposed to take? What am I supposed to do? This business idea that's been running in my mind, should I start it next year? Where should I start it? What should I do? Should I have this partner or not? This person is offering to join me. Should I have him as a partner or I should not have him as a partner? Those are the things you're asking God. God, I need instructions. I need to know your will. Because inside of that will is all the success you want. Are you with me? Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And I'm spending a little time here because this is, well, it's not the most important, but this resounds very well with me. You know, just hearing what the direction of God is. Just being filled with the knowledge of his will, I think is absolutely important. In fact, I think that the biggest disaster we have is that Christians live anyhow. We don't care. We just do what we want to do. You know, even when it comes to even church matters, as spiritual as churches, you will not believe the kind of advice we have received over the years. Go here. Go and start church there. Churches don't do well here. Go to that place instead. Oh, you see that place is a new growing area. So if you go now and you buy land and you build church there, the church will grow because there's no other church there. So everybody there will end up coming to church. This agbari is too much. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everything is being done with agbari. Nobody is asking God and saying, God, what's your will for my life? And you can't live that way. Are you with me, anybody? When Jonah was to go to Tarshish, and he was to go to Nineveh, and he was heading to Tarshish, he ended up in the sea. And in the belly of a whale, by God's mercy. You know, when the belly of a whale is God's mercy, that's serious matter. I mean? So you need to know, so that you don't end up in the sea. You need to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? People change jobs, for instance. Just because they have offered them 10,000 naira more. They are offering 10,000 naira more there, then I resign here and I go there. No, sir. Ask God. God, what is your will? People have left. I remember Kennedy again talking about when he was pastoring and somebody whose family was doing well in a place, he was there, the children, I mean, the whole family turned around and was doing very well. I'm talking about morally, spiritually, everything was working. And then the man got a job far away somewhere. And he came and said, well, Pastor, I got a job. They are going to pay me this much and blah, blah, blah. And he said, look, what about church? Is there church there. He said, no, 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 there's none, but we're not thinking about that right now and all of that. So he was willing to throw away everything. Are you with me? Please look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you this morning. Did you know that you could even ask God which shoe to buy when you enter a shoe shop? Huh? You know that when you even negotiate and you're talking to people and you're negotiating, you can ask God, God, what's your will? What should I pay here? And God will tell you, say this figure. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I think it was Copeland who said he was going to buy a plane. And God told him, God said, whatever figure they ask for, pay it. Don't negotiate it. Whatever amount it is, pay it. He got to find out later that the owner was a child of God who had just been widowed. And God was trying to provide for that woman. And so God had given him the instruction and said, don't negotiate. Buy that plane, but whatever they say to you is the amount. That's the amount you pay. God has a will. Are you hearing me? Somebody said the greatest hindrance of God is the will of man. That is that we decide, I will do it my way. I will do what I want. So as powerful as God is, he said the greatest hindrance of God is the will of man. When we submit our will to his will, then we'll experience the blessings that he has in mind. Can I have an amen there? Acts chapter 13, verse 1. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manane, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. The Bible says in verse 2, my emphasis, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So that atmosphere of ministering to God, which is basically worshiping God and fasting, the Holy Spirit speaks in such atmospheres. Under such temperature and condition, the Holy Spirit speaks and you will hear. Are you with me? Acts 27, they were caught in a storm. Paul had warned them. He was a prisoner, but he warned them. He said, if we set out on this journey, I perceive that there's a lot of danger ahead. But they looked at everything. They looked at the weather reading, and I mean, what do you call it? Weather reading and predictions and all of that. And they asked the experts. And the experts said, there's no problem. Let's go. We set to sail. And they did. And they were caught in a very strong, powerful storm. And the Bible says in Acts 27, verse 21, it said, but after long abstinence from food, which we call fasting, after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them. So Paul came back again. He said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. He said, and now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of this ship. Why? Why is Paul able to declare that way? He said, for there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. So after long abstinence, Paul didn't speak at first. Day one, day two, day whatever. Paul didn't say anything to them. They were in the storm together, but he was staying away from food. And after long abstinence from food, one day came, and he said, men, you should have listened to me. He said, but I have good news. I had God. There stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, and he has said that there will be no loss of life. Are you hearing me? Under this condition of prayer and fasting, you will hear God. Daniel did the same thing in Daniel chapter 10. And I won't read that long read, verses 1 to 14. The Bible says that he had been fasting and praying, and an angel came and he said to him, he said, look, Daniel, I came because of a prayer and fasting, because you set your heart to understand. So he wanted to know. What is the will of God? He said, therefore, I've been sent to come and tell you what will happen to the children of Israel in the future. He said, so you wanted to know, and you started to fast and to pray. He said, then God sent me to come and tell you. Are you with me? Lastly, fasting will release the power of God in your life and through you. Fasting will release the power of God in and through you. In Luke chapter 4, which is the popular story of Jesus fasting, and when he fasted, the Bible says that as he fasted, the devil came and tempted him, and we know the three temptations. That's not my emphasis this morning. But what I'm saying to you this morning is that when he was done with the fasting, in verse 14, the Bible says, then, can I hear you say then, and only then, the Bible says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding area. So then, after the fasting and prayer, and he came, the Bible says that he came in the power of the Spirit. The power of God is released in the place of prayer and fasting. Of course, we know James chapter 5, the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One says makes tremendous power available. But by the time you combine everything, your heart is on God, and all the things we have said, and you are praying and fasting, you release tremendous power and make it available. One says dynamic. The Amplifier says dynamic in its working. Dynamic in its working means that it will work for now, it will work for the things that are yet to come. You release power into your life. That is dynamic. It's not static. So dynamic is the opposite of static, meaning that you solve just a present problem. But it's saying to you that when you fast and you pray, the power of God is released, and that power is dynamic. It will solve present problems. It will solve future problems. Hallelujah. You know, I was speaking about the book as I close by Myers Schaffner on the power of prayer and fasting. And the very beginning of the book, he tells his own story and his adventure into praying and fasting. So, having experienced what he does from the early years of our marriage, I've not stopped to fast and pray every week, at least one day a week. So he spoke about what his own experience was also. He was a new believer, and he was working in a care home, where they had children who were sick. He said, and there was a child who was extremely sick and demonized. He said the child was so sick, it's like having cerebral palsy, which is that you have this disability of movement, of motion, and anyway, forget the medicine. And so this guy wasn't all together. He said, but not only so, because he wasn't very stable and things, he said he was not also very stable mentally. And this boy will cut himself. He will use his fingernails and tear himself and all of that. He said, and because of his disability, the other children would make fun of him. They would bully him. He said, and then because he was even cutting himself with his fingers, they cut his fingernails. He was still finding how to scratch himself and wound himself. He said, then they put, you put splints so that his hand is all straight. He can't do anything. He's just like this. You know, he can't bend anything so that he cannot hurt himself. He said, but despite all of that, then the children capitalized on it. And they will come and they will push the child, and the child will fall, and he can't even get up by himself, because they have made sure all his limbs have been splintered and he can't do anything. He said, and the children will laugh at him. He said, and that thing pained him so much. He was just a care worker there. He said, and he was so worried about it, and he was talking to God, God, help this boy, help this boy. And God told him, go on a fast. And he did. And he said, after so many days of fasting, he came and God said, pray for him. He said, and he pulled the boy to a private corner. He said, the moment he laid his hands on him, the power of God hit the boy so hard, threw him across the room. He said, but from that moment, that boy became free, healed and normal. He said that was his revelation of the power in prayer and fasting. Esther Somerville told a similar story. He had gone as a missionary to the Philippines, a successful minister in the U.S. He said, but God sent him to the Philippines, and he packed his bag, resigned from his pastorate, and went to the Philippines. It was a church he founded, but he said there was no support, nothing. He just went to the Philippines. And he was ministering in the Philippines. The church was small, basically his family. He said, but one day he put on the television and he saw this girl on TV, national news, network news. And the girl was highly, severely demonized. He said, whoever the girl cursed will die. So even if you are a warder, the girl was under lock and key by the national authorities. She was locked up in prison because they didn't know what to do with her. And if you look at somebody, you are the warder, she curses you, he said that person will die. Severely demonized, and this was network news. He said, and as he watched it, he was thinking, oh God, well, you know, what do you do with this girl? And God said, I'm going to send you to deliver her. And God sent him on a fast. And then he pressed all the buttons he could because, no, they won't even let you see her. I said, I want to see her. I want to pray for her. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Yes. And he went there and the girl got delivered and that was national news again. That the girl was delivered by the power of God from a man who knew how to fast and to pray. He said in 1 week, thousands on thousands on thousands, because this was national news, or people got saved. He said their new church building that they were building of maybe 1,000 or 3,000 people got filled. He said all the churches around got filled because it was national news. But a case of severe demonization that nobody could deal with, God set free through the prayer through the power of prayer and fasting. That is why we fast. It's not just tradition. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not just tradition. I keep recollecting one of those years when somebody said, he said, I had no job for months. But I told myself that this 21 days of power is me and God. He said, and I was praying, and I was praying, and I put that before God. He said, by the time we were done, he said, I had 3 job offers. And it now became another prayer point. Which one is the right one? What I'm saying to you is that there are rewards of fasting. Take it seriously. Do it. And I've said to you 4 things this morning. Number 1, fasting will help your faith. Number 2, it will help you to put your heart on the things of God. Number 3, it puts your heart in a sensitive position where you can hear God and his will and his direction for your life. And number 4, fasting will help to release the power of God in your life. Let's stand on our feet.
I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I call to
said, we're going to start tomorrow. Whatever your schedule might be, whatever you might need to do, whatever, just make a plan before God. But not only so, I want to encourage you to make a list before God. There are things and there are prayer points that will be sent out by the church, but make a list and say, God, me, I'm standing also to see this and this and this. God, I'm standing to get instructions concerning this. get instructions concerning that. I'm coming out of this with answers to these situations. So make a plan and make a list. This is my list. This is what I'm talking to God about. And this is my plan. This is how I'm going to spend those days. This is what I'm going to do. God helping me for the best of my ability. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to abstain from this. I'm going to abstain from that. But I'm going to wait upon God. And they'll send out messages, prayer times and all of that. Do your utmost best. Change your schedule to join those prayer meetings. Join them. Somebody say, I'm in the bus. Put earphones and join in the bus. Instead of listening to gossip, I'm the bus. Or make a plan and make a list. And say to God, I'm coming out transformed. My heart will be turned to God. I'll walk in the Spirit even more. When there's nothing to pray to God about, I just pray to Him, I want more of you. I want more of you. I need to know you more. That one, I can't finish praying it. That one has no ending. Because the more of Him I know, the more I want to know. Light will shine in the darkness. You will have the light of life. The things that you have been confused about will become clear. You would know what to do. You will know where to turn. You will know where not to turn. I will do that. If you need to make peace with God, whether you are here or you are online, please do so. The Bible says that in Romans 5, because we have God, because we, through Christ, we have peace with God. If you need to make peace with God, do so now. And just tell Him, I know. 2 Corinthians 5 says, in verse 15, He said, He laid His own life down for us so that we who live should no longer live unto ourselves, but we should live for Him who died for us. So if you need to, tell Him. Whether you are doing it for the first time, tell Him, Lord Jesus, here I am. I present myself to You this morning. If you have done it before, but you know that you have departed from Him and you are not living the way you should and your heart is not at peace primarily, then talk to Him. Put your hand on your chest right where you are and say, Lord, here I am. And I dedicate myself to You this morning. Help me. Help me. Sorry, brother Moses. Come. Moses, yeah. Moses. Please come. Please come. I don't know if you all understand it. I'll tell it to you in your ears. But as I looked at you, I had a word.
Father, thank you. Are there needs here this morning before I put down the mic? Are you physically sick? Or you have a need, you are just believing God for? Let's agree together this morning. He's called Almighty God, is not for nothing. He said in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he said, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. So if you are standing, believing God for something, put your hand on your chest, be it a healing, be it whatever, be it direction, whatever it might be, let's agree together. That indeed, Father, we bring all of these needs represented before you. Thank you, because indeed you are the Almighty God. You said you declare the end from the beginning, saying that your counsel shall stand and you will do all of your will. We know your will is to bless your children. Your will is that it shall be well with them. Thank you, because all of the issues are resolved in the name of Jesus. Sickness is banished. Disease is destroyed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Direction. Thank you for protection. Thank you for favor. Thank you, Lord, because you do more than we can ask or imagine, even now, in the name of Jesus. We thank you already. We thank you already, because we believe it's done. The praise and the glory be yours. In Jesus' name we pray.